Live every Monday morning, Friday morning, mornings after, mornings before. I'll check you all the time. Joe Smith, Smitty, good morning. How are you?
Oh, not bad, not bad at all.
Good
How
morning.
You doing, Margaret?
I'm doing good. How are you?
Spring. You know, we've had better weekends,
yeah.
So I'll just put it to you that way, and we'll leave it right there and move forward.
Well, we're here.
That's all you can do.
Yep.
And we're here to pass on all those details here on a Monday morning. It was a tough afternoon for South and Seymour Regional. We'll get to that momentarily as Castle, they're on to the state semifinal, so that or semi-state rather. So that tells you how good that basketball team is. Anybody that beats South twice in 1 year. But the gymnasts at Bloomington South, Joe, they finished in the top eight in the state. That's a fantastic accomplishment. They'll start us off here on a Monday morning.
Well, a credible end to the season in gymnastics for the South Super Six, competing in its first state championship in 11 years. Michelle Stroud's Panthers wound up seventh Saturday over at Ball State, posting 108.5 points on a day of, well, ups and downs, perhaps nerves on the big stage entered into it some, but still a solid scripted story that they've given us over the past month or so. The last couple of weeks, second place in the sectional, second place in the regional. The girls went into the state, finishing fifth in the final coaches' poll overall. Veteran coach Lisa Jones stepping aside late season, turning the reins over to Michelle Straub, who helped the team fulfill its one team, one dream motto of making it to the state. After a rough start on beam Saturday, the Panthers had to battle back, and they did. Junior Abby Kawanishi had the team's highest scores on beam at 8.8. She also had a 9.3 on floor and was second on bars at 9.25. Senior Kaylee Erton claimed fifth on vault, 9.5 for the only Panther podium finish on Saturday. Junior Ashlyn DeMoss, battling a knee injury, had a team best 9.3 on bars. Senior Kelsey Shermer, who won the regional, wound up T19 at state with a 9.1. Senior Catherine McGibbon scored a 9.0 on the floor. She, too, experiencing some knee problems on Saturday, but wound up 24th in the all-around. Shermer, by the way, was T19 in the all-around event. And senior Emma DeLavore had to step in for DeMoss on vault, and she posted an 8.2. Seventh place, very credible against the best in the state and under some rather tough circumstances of the day on Saturday, but a dream of making state certainly realized for the four graduating seniors, a season well put together. Well, handwriting, you might say, was on the wall the day and night. Mr. Basketball candidate Castle's Jack Dungy was going to have the Iowa-bound senior 6'11 forward threw in that half-court shot Saturday to put the South Panthers of J.R. Holmes down 8.5 rather than 5, but his 27-point, 23-rebound effort was just too much to overcome as the South basketball season ended 22-5 with that regional semifinal loss 72-62. South, a 76% free throw shooting team on the year, uncharacteristically missed 9 on Saturday. They couldn't overcome a chilly start from the field. They gave up 21 second chance points to Nunji and Knights, who controlled the boards big time, 41-23. Senior Josh Hall finished with 19 and 6 boards playing in his final game as a Panther. Chance Coyle, who will be back next year, labored through a 3-for-15 shooting day, had 11 points, only 2 of 9 from behind the line. Freshman Anthony Leal has had come on strong here in the second half of the season. He has 3 more years left. He had a dozen. Panther starting guards, though, Phil King and also Luke Jager, neither one of them scored. His Castle was just better on this particular day and proved it at night, taking down top-ranked New Albany, the defending 4A state champion, 72-64, to gain a berth in the Final Four. They'll go to the semi-state this weekend, Castle will. Nunji completed a standout Saturday with 22-14, overcoming junior Romeo Langford's 44-point effort. Nunji finished his Saturday at Seymour with 49 points and 37 rebounds and the school's first ever trip to the Final Four. They'll play Bette Davis Saturday in the semi-state. They win there, they'll be in the 4A state championship game. Don't forget, In the Zone, Dave and Glass, and your phone calls tonight, kicking off your spring break week. tonight at 6.
And Joe, the NCAA tournament is 68 deep and ready to go. Games will begin tomorrow with the play-in games in Dayton Tuesday and Wednesday, and the tournament opens proper on Thursday. We will have coverage for you 12 to 12 starting Thursday at lunchtime and running until the final games of Thursday night have been completed. Then we'll come back and do it again on Friday as well as the NCAA tournament. So I think this will be, what, year number three for us doing that?
I think it is. You're right.
At least three.
Yeah.
Where we've done the flash pan, jump to jump, game to game. We'll get you covered with everything. That's Thursday through Sunday. And then we'll pick it up in the Sweet 16 next week on Thursday night because we don't have all the day games going on. But, Joe, one omission, that we know, Indiana getting beat by Wisconsin on Friday night meant the Indiana Hoosiers NCAA dream was done. But we learned last night they will be playing in the NIT.
Yeah, a quick turnaround tomorrow night down in the Peach City of Atlanta, 9 o'clock, another one of those late-nighters. But that being said, a game to be played and a team to beat to move on in the Syracuse quadrant. They basically, this 32-team field is split up four different seeds. Let's see, Syracuse, who, Cal, Iowa, and Illinois State got the one seeds and the home court. You already depicted why Indiana's not hosting tomorrow night, due to the fact that it is spring break and a large volume of tickets are certainly allotted to them, and they're not around, so that makes sense there. After, a deserted gym nearly the last time, and I can't remember, when's the last time we played?
I think it was 05.
Was it that long ago?
Vanderbilt, so, I know they won.
And there wasn't anybody hardly there.
No, there wasn't. But
and the Hoosiers got beat, if my memory serves.
Yes, they did. Yes, they did.
Yeah, but anyway, Georgia Tech, they have a coach of the year. They got some pretty good players, and they're pretty good at home because they've already beaten North Carolina, Florida State, and Notre Dame in Atlanta in that gym. So
yeah, Syracuse as well. People know it's hard to win on the road. Indiana's a 3 seed in that quadrant, Joe, so they'd play the 2 seed next, so that means no home game there either. So doesn't if everything goes according to Hoyle, it doesn't look like Indiana will have another opportunity to host. Because in their region, it would make sense that they beat the 2, they would play the 1 in Syracuse. And some poetic stuff there as Syracuse knocked the number 1 overall seed Indiana out of the tournament in Washington, D.C. back in 2013. So Syracuse has to get by their friends at Greensboro first to get things started. We'll see.
Got a lot of friends in Greensboro.
They do, but Greensboro's coming to them. It'll be interesting to see with the winter storm Stella smashing the East Coast starting sometime late tonight. If everybody's traveling today, hurry up and getting to where they need to be before perhaps being snowed in. So it's always interesting. Dayton should be fine. That will get the tournament kicked off. We won't have those games for you. We haven't done the Tuesday and Wednesday games, so we will start the tournament
proper.
We've
got a little local interest in Mark Schlesinger, the former Edgewood Pepper Pot guard. When he played, I called his high school games back in the day, but congrats out to the Privateers of New Orleans. They play one of those play-in games. Well, they're right off the bat.
First out.
Tomorrow night.
Yeah, they play, who do they have, Joe? I don't have it in front of me.
I haven't got that.
It's a 16 game, Mount St. Mary's.
Mount
there
St.
we go.
Mary's.
Never mind, I had to go through the filing cabinet. It's a little dusty here on a Monday morning.
Yeah. same in my dusty.
There you go. But your suitcase isn't dusty. We'll know you get that filled up and turned around down to a hot Atlanta, I'm guessing, tonight.
Well, there's tonight. Not enough dust to lay on it because I just unpacked it Sunday morning, so... I don't know.
Pacers win last night, beat the Miami Heat. Not surprising. Pacers record at Bankers Life Fieldhouse is good. The Pacers still the 6th seed in the East as we watch the NBA season. Big fight in NASCAR. Who won the race yesterday?
Martin Truex.
Martin Truex Jr. Trump's in Las Vegas. Good stuff there. Adam Hadwin, the Canadian, wins his first tour event, so a busy day in sports. We'll get more IU recap of the end of their regular season and a preview of Georgia Tech coming up at 8:45.
Well, we'll try to piece together some things, but also the watch is on for the women of Terry Moore, and the draw is tonight, and we'll see if they make the field of the women's NCAA tournament.
And if not, an NIT opportunity there perhaps as well. So we'll see how that works out. All right, good stuff as always.
All righty.
Happy Monday, and we'll talk to you at 8:45.
We'll see you then.
Daylight savings time. We'll see you when the sun comes up at 8:45.
Yeah.
All right, see you, buddy.
All
Joe Smith, 7:45, 8:45, Monday mornings, Friday mornings, and the morning after Hoosier Hoops. And it's time for Joe Smith live on a Monday morning. Smitty, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, everybody.
Joe!
So did you get your coffee in, Joe?
He's ready.
Yeah, got coffee in. Now I had to go to the cell phone for another reason. I don't know. So typical Monday.
Typical Monday.
There are those days.
And that means that it's Monday. So we do have plenty of things going on. So let's get to it.
Oh, yeah.
Let's get to it. We'll kick off here on a Monday morning, the IU beat. We'll get to the other news here a little bit later. But we've got the national championship swimming for the women coming up, swimming and diving. I'll let you take it away here on a Monday morning.
Well, Terry Morin's IU women with eyes glued to tonight's 7 o'clock NCAA selection show on ESPN to see if, for a second straight year, they make the field of 64. Certainly a bubble team they are, despite a second straight 20-win season, but the women own just one win against a top 50 RPI team, and that's Michigan. RPI-wise, the Big Ten is rated the sixth best conference in Division I. Maryland and Ohio State are safely in. Then four other clubs are in the top 60, including the Hoosiers, who are 50th entering the postseason. You know, a year ago, Indiana received a 9 seed and then beat 8-seeded Georgia, its first NCAA tourney win in 33 years. Last year, though, if you'll recall, the Big Ten got 5 teams in. Well, Indiana has a better RPI than Purdue, but Purdue knocked Indiana out last week in the quarterfinals in Indy and then beat Ohio State. This year, certainly more parity with Indiana, Purdue, Michigan, Michigan State, and Northwestern. All of them have 20 wins and counting. So it becomes a numbers game tonight as the women await its fate. Well, we know Coach Tom Spade and his basketball Hoosiers, a 3 seed, granted the 18-15 Hoosiers who catch the 6 seed, Georgia Tech, Tuesday night at the McCamish Pavilion down in Atlanta at 9 o'clock. The Yellow Jackets are 7-15. Its coach, Josh Pastner, is the ACC Coach of the Year, but his Jackets have dropped 7 of 11 since the start of February. The Hoosiers, as you know, lost 8 of its final 11. And after, shooting 60% and outscoring Iowa last week and putting them on the sidelines in D.C., scoring 95 points, the Hoosiers, as you know, lost to Wisconsin Friday night for a third time this year, sending the Hoosiers packing 70-60. The Hoosiers had had to shoot 48% in the second half, just declined to 41% for the game. Got nothing from Thomas Bryan in 23 minutes, 2 points and 3 rebounds. James Blackman Jr., 17-8, his line to lead the way, but Ethan Happ and Nigel Hayes combined for 24 points and 21 rebounds as the Badgers led for 31 minutes in that game and had its biggest lead at 15 with 8 minutes to play, and it was a hole too deep to dig out from underneath for Indiana. And so it's Atlanta and a true road game for Indiana tomorrow night. A 2-7 road team, by the way, within league play this past season. But Indiana wins. They'll catch either 2-seeded Georgia or number 7-seed Belmont in round 2. That side is still up in the air as we open this week. The main focus is jump this hurdle tomorrow night against the Yellow Jackets. Elsewhere on the Hoosier capsule beat, the IU men's and women's swim and diving teams finished the Zone C diving championships at the Seaback by earning 2 more spots over the weekend in the women's platform dive. 2-time Big Ten and 2015 NCAA champion Jessica Parado won, posting a score of over 627 points to qualify for the event this week at the IU Natatorium, the site of the NCAA championships. The redshirt sophomore had a great showing in the zones, placing first in the platform, second in the 3-meter, and third in the 1-meter competition. Also for IU, Michelle Bauer will dive in the 1- and 3-meter events at the NCAAs. And in the men's platform dive, James Conner, the Australian, clinched the berth to the event at the men's NCAA championships next week, placing a 7th with a score of over 688 points. He will dive all 3 events for the Hoosiers. So it is a big weekend of swimming and diving at the IU Night Auditorium for the women starting on Wednesday night, while the men will be up in Indianapolis March 22nd through the 25th. Well, kudos are certainly out. All-American status for Catherine Receiver and Daniel Kuhn. They both received honorable mention honors on the final day of the NCAA Indoor Track and Field Championships. Catherine finished sixth in the women's 3,000 meters, and Kuhn was seventh in the men's 800. Indiana also got a 15th place finish from Eric Bethea in the triple jump, 53 and a quarter inch. Elsewhere on the IU sports beat, in water polo, Ryan Castle's women ranked 13th nationally, had a Sunday split at the Aztec Invitational out in San Diego as they opened up their spring break. They lost to number 17 San Diego State in a sudden victory overtime defeat, 9-8, but they did beat 16th rated California San Diego 6-3. Kelly Matthews had 5 goals in Sunday's 2 games, 4 against the Aztecs. So now the Indiana Hoosiers will stay west and go farther west as they go to Hawaii as they take on top-ranked USC later this week in Honolulu, and then grab number 8 Hawaii, a team they beat when Hawaii was 5th-ranked earlier this season. USC will be looking for an NCAA breaking 47th consecutive win when the Hoosiers run into them on Friday night out in Honolulu. Baseball team rests 6-7-1. They're headed to Hawaii as well on Wednesday on their spring break. They took the home series from Middle Tennessee 6-0 out at the BART yesterday as freshman Andrew Salfrank picked up his first career win as a collegian, pitched 6 innings with 6 strikeouts. Senior Alex Krupa knocked out his second home run of the year, and the sophomore Ryan Feinman and freshman Jeremy Houston. Houston continuing to hit the ball well. He had a couple of hits. Luke Miller drove in 2 runs. They'll be off to Honolulu, where they'll open up a 4-game series with the Rainbow Warriors starting on Wednesday. Michelle Gardner's softballers are 11-13. They had a 5-0 sweep of the Memphis Classic over the weekend, their first 5-win weekend in 4 years. They'll be home this weekend, starting Saturday and Sunday. The Hoosier Classic at Andy Moore's. They'll be hosting Bowling Green and also the University of Illinois Chicago. Yesterday, they blanked Buffalo 8-0 as Tara Traynor earned her second complete game shutout of the season, gave up just 3 hits and a walk and struck out 7. And senior Karamir Sarigos turned in a 2-for-2 performance at the plate, knocked in 2 and scored 1. And Amelia McDonough went 2-for-3 with a couple of RBI. And a young freshman, Bella Norton, just the day after recording her first career home run, she also had a big day at the plate yesterday against Buffalo down in Memphis, collecting a couple of hits. Don't forget In the Zone, Dave and Glass, and your phone calls to start your spring break week tonight at 6 o'clock.
And the NCAA tournament bracket is all set. As you mentioned, the women will find out tonight. Men are heading to Georgia Tech tomorrow for the NIT, 9 o'clock tip time on ESPN. We don't know when the next round of games are. We know what there's a range of dates, and I would think if you play first on, or if you play on Tuesday, you probably play the first
sometime
day of
that
the
weekend.
Well, yeah,
weekend,
just huh? I don't know how that works, because Georgia is playing the 2 seed on Wednesday night, so you can't turn around and I don't think you'd be able to play on the 16th Thursday if they just play, or the whatever that day is.
Yeah.
So I think you get pushed into the weekend. And Joe, I know you don't have anything to do with this, but if Indiana wins and Belmont beats Georgia, well, the Hoosiers would host, and if that game's on a Friday or Saturday at Assembly Hall, well, all these kids are still on spring break. So I don't know what to make of. Here's an idea: don't get in the NIT, and you don't have these problems to worry about. How about that? Let's start there on a Monday morning.
Well, too, there could be a conflict because
women.
If the women don't get an NCAA bid, they'll be in the WNIT. And that tournament starts this weekend, and most certainly you'd think Indiana would. Well, they could. I don't know.
Yeah,
it's all up in the air. But
it it's up in the air like your airplane.
Yeah,
leaving for Atlanta. All right, are you going today, tonight?
I have no clue.
Okay.
I really don't. So I wish I could tell you.
Here's what I'm going to guess, and I'm guessing out loud here. We will be live with you tomorrow morning from Atlanta.
Okay, that's good.
Okay, I just want to make sure that.
I was planning on that anyway.
Okay,
yeah.
And then we'll do the morning after.
As usual.
I
don't know if we'll fly back. I don't know, since we're in spring break. So
probably not.
I mean, this is just such a quick turnaround.
It is.
I can't remember a scheduling. I'm not going to call it a conflict, but there's some things to iron out. Let's put it to you that
All
way.
Right.
And it's almost 9 o'clock on a Monday morning.
Let's we'll keep our ears open, and we'll hear from you tomorrow morning, wherever in the world you may be.
Yeah, wherever I am.
Where's Smitty?
I'll call.
It's like Waldo. Where's Waldo? Where's Smitty?
Safe travels, Smitty.
Yeah, thank you, Morgan. Have a good week.
All right.
Joe, we'll talk to you tomorrow morning. Again, wherever you may be. Joe Smith, Monday mornings.
Poor guy.
Friday mornings. Mornings after IU basketball. Mornings before IU basketball when they're on the road in the tournament.
That gives you a headache just talking about it. Good gracious.
We get Joe the whole time. Yeah, but the moral of the story is you've got logistical nightmares this time of year, win some more games. It's not hard to do. Not hard to do.